If you have your Bibles, if you can't take them and turn to me to 2 Timothy, again, we're going to open up our Bibles there. And again, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. And those of you watching on live stream as well, happy Mother's Day. This morning, we are wanting to honor the Lord Jesus Christ in everything that we say and do, but also honor our mothers on Mother's Day. And so that's what the lesson is about today, is mothers. And I have the utmost and highest respect for those that have the title of a mother. Some of the jobs and the skill and the wisdom that is needed to perform the task of being a mother is I looked it up, it says resident psychologist, physician, theologian, educator, nurse, chef, taxi driver, fire marshal, and occasionally a police officer. And if she is successful at all those tasks, she will repeat them again tomorrow, is what it says. So it is a never-ending, nonstop work to be a mother. And I have a humongous, incredible respect for my wife as well, who is a wonderful mother to our children. And but as we look at this as well, there's a story of a little girl who's walking around Walmart and crying, and everyone can hear them. I'm sure you've been in the store before where you hear a child crying, and the whole time the mother is walking around saying, "It's okay, Ellen, just breathe. We're almost done. Everything's okay, just breathe. And Ellen, everything's going to be fine." And she gets up to the cash register, and the clerk says, "You are such an incredible woman," to this daughter, Ellen, of yours. And she says, "Her name's not Ellen, my name is Ellen." And so to think about just everything that goes along with that, everything that a mother has to do, such a special place. And even Abraham Lincoln says this about his mother. He says, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life." George Washington says this about his mother: "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, all I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her." Studies show that if a mother could be paid for what she does, she would at minimum earn $200,000 a year for all the tasks that she does and for her children. Everything that they owe to their mother. And we look at this passage this morning, and we think about the mother of Timothy. The mother and the grandmother of Timothy. The physical demands of a mother, the biblical attributes, everything that correlates with being a mother. It is not simply just to teach them how to make a perfect peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And I don't know how moms do it, but they make it with love all the time. There's a difference between me throwing on peanut butter and jelly on a sandwich on two pieces of bread and my mom doing it. And I see that even in our own children as well. How they watch and how a sandwich can be made with toast even in a certain way that dad just doesn't do it like mom does. There's just something different there. And there are certain things that as a mother you are called to pass on, and even as parents in general. That there are certain things in which, as parents, we must do. And today, as we look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, we see even Paul puts an emphasis in verse 5 about the type of education, the type of spiritual education that Timothy received. Where did he get this from? Where did Timothy receive this education? See, Paul came along, but he had already noticed something special about Timothy. Something that had already been taught to him way before. Timothy was growing up in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And where did he learn these from? Two women in his life. His grandmother, Lois, and his mother, Eunice. That it was taught to be godly, to be righteous, firm, determined. How to be used of God. Don't underestimate the power of a grandmother or grandfather even. The wisdom. I look at my wife's life as well and to think about the power and the impact that her grandmother had on her life. So great it was that we named our little girl after her. The impact that a mother and a grandmother can have on a child. You know, there is oftentimes, as we get older, scientifically, they say that we start to shrink. We start to hunch over. And I'm sure there's a medical reason for this. But one person writes this. An author says, "A sage once remembered that the elderly slow down and stoop over." And he says, "So that they can hold the hands of children who toddling along on inexperienced feet. That they can see the bugs on the sidewalk again. That they can go and they can dig in the dirt easier. So that they can spend time with their grandchildren. See these things as a child's perspective. To look at life again with a child." If you have your Bibles, it says in Proverbs 17, verse 6, "Children's children are the crown of the aged." That how important it is for grandmothers and grandparents, the crown of their children is their grandchildren. If you look in the Old Testament as well, there are several passages, Exodus 20, verses 5 and 6, Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7, that talk about how important it is to teach the next generation, to pass down the things in which we've learned, we've been taught. So what did this accomplish in the boy of Timothy? And I want to point out a couple things this morning. What was it that Lois and Eunice taught Timothy? Three things here this morning that we can see. And I was looking at the message as well and trying to figure out a way to word it, and the only other title that I could come up with was "Don't Flim Flammy Mammy." If you ever know any of the Three Stooges, that was one of their things as well. "Don't Flim Flammy Mammy." And just to think about, though, what Christian mothers are to pass on. What should we be teaching our children? What can they learn from a mother? Number one is she passed on a love for the Scriptures. Take your Bibles and turn with me over just a couple chapters to chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And to look at verses 14 through 17. It says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing of, whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Where did he learn this from? Where did Timothy looked at Paul, or Paul looked at Timothy and said, "Where did you learn these things from?" Because as a child, he had been taught the Scriptures. The love of the Scriptures. How important it is for a mother to spend time with their children in the Word of God. No single thing will be a greater impact than to teach our children what the Bible has to say. Biblical principles. In a world which is pulling our children away from the things of the Lord, away from God, and to realize that we can have an impact. And where was Timothy's most impactful things? Who were they? His mother and his grandmother. God has written the recipe for spiritual success, and it's this: the truth of the Word, plus faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit power. You see, the spiritual dynamic and the spiritual success, this key to it, it's right here. I love formulas. I love math. It's never changing. English and can be a different thing all in itself. It was always stressful for me. Math, it was always like this, XY equals, and I could just plug things in. And here is a formula for a spiritual success in the lives of our children, is the truth of the Word, plus faith in Christ, plus the Holy Spirit power, gives us equals a dynamic spiritual life. And in Romans 10:14, it talks about this as well a little bit. Because as we look at Romans 10:14, we see, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear without a preacher? How can people know the Word of God without a preacher? And in verse 17, it goes on to talk about faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. The Word was taught to Timothy by those closest to him. The Word must be spoken and embraced in Christian homes today. If we had a child who was drowning and a mother who was on shore, we would know that this mother would do everything within her power to save her child. Everything within her physical power to save her child from drowning, and yet there are so many children in our world today that are drowning in sin. And we need, again, spiritual mothers and grandmothers and even fathers and grandfathers as well to be willing to throw out a lifeline, to be able to teach the Word of God to their children. We have the inspired Word of God, and it must be spoken in our homes. To be heard, to listen. Take your Bibles with me and turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verses 5 and 7. Where did Timothy hear these things from? Where was it that he learned so much about the Word of God? And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 and 7, it gives us a command. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, with all, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Don't expect a Christian school to be the one that influences your children more than you do. Don't expect the youth pastor, or the pastor, or the children's school teacher to be church school teacher to be the one that impacts your child for the Lord more than you are. There's a great command that is given, and that is that we teach our children the Word of God. Something that we can pass down to the next generation. It is an assignment that God has given directly to us as parents. The idea is, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, find ways to teach your children the truth of the Bible. First, it must happen, though. Moms must learn the scriptures for themselves. They must apply it to their own personal lives before they can teach others also. We must pass it on, though. There's a saying that more is caught than is taught. More of what will be taught to our children are by what they pick up on, what they catch, how we act, how we live our lives. More is caught than is simply sitting down and teaching them and telling them the same thing over and over. They will catch it by how we live. More is caught than is taught. I believe that Eunice and Lois loved the Word of God, and it changed the lives of their son, Timothy. We see in Timothy's life as well, he went on to be a star pastor in the New Testament. And he loved the Bible because he loved it from his mother, from his grandmother. What an incredible testimony these women have and had over the years. So not only do they pass a love for the scriptures, but also she passed on a sincere faith. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm sorry, chapter 1, verse 5 talks about that. A sincere faith was passed on. Now, oftentimes we pass on genetics. There are certain characteristics or certain looks. Garrett has Amber's eyes and Emma has my eyes, but we're looking at all the characteristic traits, everything that is passed down. We have things that are passed down through genetics. Or characteristics, so to speak. But there is something that is not genetically passed down, and that is our faith. Our faith is not a genetic form and does not pass down to the next generation. We are not saved because our parents are saved. We do not have faith in God because our parents had faith in God. This is something that has to be taught to our children. And as we look at this, we see how important it is that our faith is taught to our children. You know, last week even, we had a baptism. And Pastor was able to baptize his granddaughter. Joey Quilty was able to baptize his son. And as they got up there, they both said, "I baptize you, my brother or sister in Christ." That we are all part of, there's no titles in these labels of mothers and fathers, grandparents and grandmothers and grandfathers, but that we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all children of God, and we must be taught about our Heavenly Father. We need to know these things. We must pray for our children. It is something that is so eye-opening. As I look at our children and as I think that I am so grateful that they have made professions of faith, but I wonder if they will continue to walk in the faith. Will they continue to learn more about their Heavenly Father? Will they continue to grow in the knowledge of who God is? It is something that we often want to do, is even dealing with teenagers, is you want to shake them sometime and just say, "Wake up, open your eyes. He's real. He's there. He is such a great God." And yet, we cannot do that for people. We cannot shake them. We cannot make them. It is something that they must be taught and they must accept for themselves. But we can pray for them. We can encourage them. We can teach them. One of the saddest things that I think of is a statistic that I've read the other day that was talking about parents in the home and parents who are not consistent with the way they teach their children and how much of an effect it has on the lives of their children. The inconsistency of life. None of us are perfect. We all have inconsistencies. We're all struggling. We're all trying to. We're all growing, and that we understand that. But it said something about to this extent. It said those that have such strict home life. They said as long as it's consistent, children will thrive. And they said those that have such a, and it's funny because the scale goes all the way over to the most relaxed home there is. That allows everything, has no sense of good morals, it was saying. Like even this was a worldly statistic view. And it said, even those parents, though, because they are so consistent in how loose they are, a child can thrive in that as well. It said the key was to have a consistent type of home life. That children need to see consistency in our lives. If we're going to say things, we need to stick with it. If we're going to tell our children not to do things, we too must be willing to take that stand. We need to be consistent in how we teach our children. It said the greatest thing that destroys children's lives is the hypocrisy of their parents. The fake, the phony. Again, more is caught than is taught, and our children know what hypocrisy and what the word hypocrisy means. Even though you ask them now, they may not. But they know what it means to play along, to put on a front. For our little girl, Emma, will walk up sometimes and she'll say, I'm like, "Hey, Emma." She's like, "I'm not Emma. I'm Ariel." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, Ariel, will you go?" And she's like, or she'll make up a name for herself. She'll sometimes make up a name for herself. And as I talk to her and ask her about a certain thing, it's "I'm not Emma. I'm this person today. That's not my name. I'm this or I'm that." And we understand how children like to pretend, to change who they are, to change their name. And every child likes to pretend to be someone else than they really are, but children know that adults do the same thing. To pretend to be a certain way when they come to church. To act a certain way in front of others. And yet who they really are behind closed doors. Our children need to see us faithful to God. Children know whether or not parents are pretending, whether or not the Christian faith is real, whether or not it's genuine. And what Timothy saw in his own mother was that it was genuine. The faith was real. God is good all the time. And so Timothy had this faith that he had learned. I think about Jesus and his time on earth as well. Who was he the hardest on? Who did he push? Who did he condemn the most were those that knew right and chose to live an opposite lifestyle. In public, they looked a certain way, they acted a certain way in public, but behind closed doors, Jesus Christ knew who they really were. And he was the hardest on them. If a child cannot see a radical change in your life, then they will grow up wondering if Jesus Christ is real. If they see no change at all, they'll always question, was it real? Was it just a fake? Was all of it a phony? Hypocrisy will kill your kids, will kill them spiritually. We must pass on a sincere faith. Moms, don't just be churchgoers. Be Christian followers every single day. When you fail, when we all fail, but when we fail, make it right to our children. Make it right to those around us. Let our children see how we handle mistakes as well. Pass on the faith. Pass on a love for the scriptures. Pass on a faith. And thirdly, she passed on a desire to serve others. She passed on a desire to serve others. I have a verse up there, Acts 16, 1 through 3. But we can take our Bibles and turn there as well if you'd like. Acts 16, 1 through 3. Might be a little difficult to see up there. Nope, maybe. Depending on where you're at. Acts 16, 1 through 3, it says, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren, that where at Lystra and Iconium, him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews, which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek." Something incredible to think about is how Timothy was willing to do this act. How Timothy was willing to say, "I'm willing to sacrifice," not because he knew that it was going to save him, the act of circumcision, but because he did not want to be a stumbling block for others. He didn't want his words to be in vain. He didn't want others to look at him and have a negative effect, the gospel have a negative effect in any way. Where did he learn to take such a high stand? Where did he learn that from? His mother and his grandmother. How eager he was to follow Paul and his ministry. How incredible it was that what we do not see here is how his mother and grandmother run after him saying, "No, don't go. Wait. Let's have a family. Start a family first." For in verse 4, it goes on to talk about how they went into the city and proclaimed that their son was ordained. That others ran out and said, "Hey, he's ordained of the apostles, of the elders. He's going to be a pastor." Because at that time in the first century, leaving your home and going to preach the gospel sometimes meant death, prison, separation from your family forever and ever on this side of eternity. And what we do not read is his mother and grandmother running after him saying, "Wait, Timothy, think about this. Consider these things." For what we see are the people running around and telling him that he was ordained by the elders and the apostles. That what he has to say is real. He's now sharing the gospel. Something that could cost him his life. What we see is Timothy's willingness to tell others, his concern and desire to serve others, his desire that others may know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that the faith that he had been taught would be taught to others as well, that he didn't keep it for himself, but he went out to share that. As we look at these things, the word steward means manager. As a parent, we are managers of our children. And what we must learn is they ultimately always belong to God. Our children belong to God. And we are managing them. We are to train them. We are to teach them. And we only have them for a short amount of time. But we have to let them go. We cannot keep them. We cannot hold them back. We must encourage them to follow after the Lord. Acts 16 also mentions about Timothy's father. He was a Greek. He might have been a good man, but he definitely was not a spiritual role model for Timothy. For we know Paul will teach him more about the gospel. But we think about, again, these two women, Lois and Eunice, the impact that they had on their son and grandson, Timothy, the impact that they had in that first century of Christians, how impactful it was for others to hear the gospel. I'm grateful for this story of Timothy. I grew up in a single parent home for several years. My mother raised me, and by herself, the very first years of our life, I don't remember too much of it, but we lived in a couple safe houses before we could come to Florida with her family in Alabama. And we moved. My mom was faithful to church. She loved the Lord. And the church donated her a vehicle that got us from Alabama to Florida so that we could live in my aunt and uncle's garage for several years until my mom, who worked full-time, could get a house of her own. And I remember all these things along the way, and I remember how faithful my mom was to church. I remember her working in Awana and the things in which she taught me. I remember up late at night and having her, and we would sit on a little rocking chair in our living room, and she would read to me Bible stories out of that hardback old Bible where it had the picture of Jesus on the front and the disciples and the people around him. And it was a hardback book about this big. I think every home had it back in the early 90s. And she would read me these stories of God and the stories of how great God is. And no one had ever taught her how to be this perfect woman. But yet she tried to teach me about God, a perfect father. And she worked diligently at it. And I think I wouldn't be the man I am today without a woman like that. Without a mother who cared so much to teach me about the Word of God. Who prayed for me. And when she prayed, she didn't just pray for me, she prayed even for my spouse. Her exact prayer was that she would find my spouse one day, and she did. She came home one day and said, "I found your wife." And on our wedding day, she told me, she said, "I prayed for your wife. While you were just a little child, I started praying for your wife. And I prayed," she told me on our wedding day, she prayed that she would find her. And I thought, the incredible prayers of a mother, the things that she taught me. I used to think, I'm missing out on things because I didn't have a dad. I didn't have someone to throw the ball with. I didn't have someone to play and teach me how to fish and those kind of things. But I thought, you know what? God gave me what I needed. And the impactfulness that a single mother can have on a child, and the impactfulness that a grandmother and grandfather can have on a child's life. How incredible that is. Amber's often told me I imply this too much. But to teach the next generation. To find someone in our church even to encourage them, a young parent, a young teenager. But I'm often reminded of a quote that says, don't ever stop saying what God says in His Word. Don't ever feel guilty for asking people to do what God has asked them to do. To go out of our way and to teach the next generation. You may not have children or grandchildren in a genetic form of it all, but in a spiritual sense, to look at the members of our church and to realize that we are in this together. We are all a family of God. And we can still be a spiritual mother or father. You can still be a spiritual grandmother or grandfather. I have a poem here. It talks about children as well. How they grow up. How it is our job to teach them. It says, my hands were busy through the day. I did not have much time to play. The little games you asked me to, I did not have much time for you. I'd wash your clothes, I'd sew and cook, but when you'd bring your picture book and ask me please to share your fun, I'd say, a little later, son. I'd tuck you in all safe at night, hear your prayers and turn out the light, then tiptoe softly to the door. I wish I had stayed a minute more. For life is short and years rush past. A little boy grows up so fast. No longer is he at your side, his precious secrets to confide. The picture books are put away. There's no children games to play, no goodnight kisses, no prayers to hear. That all belongs to yesteryears. My hand once busy now lies still. The days are long and hard to fill. I wish I might go back and do the little things you'd ask me to. I read this poem and I thought, just the physical sense of it all. Just to realize the years are fading and fleeting so fast. But then to think of it in a spiritual sense and think, more time to teach them about the Lord. More time to spend in prayer. Teaching them the faith. Teaching them about how great God is. I wonder whenever we stand before God, will I look and think, I could have done more. I could have taught someone else. To think about how fast time is fleeting. They say the most crucial years of a child's life are the first 7 years. Some scientists, some people who study this as well, say that it's even earlier than that. The most crucial years are the first 4 or 5 years of life. And to think that a mother's job, though, is never done. For we see in his grandmother as well the impact that she had as well. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for our mothers, Lord. We thank you for how impactful they have been in our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as we look at your word to realize, Lord, that you're not done with us. If we're here this morning, if we were physically able to come here or we're physically able to sit up in bed and listen to this online, Lord, that you still desire to use us in some capacity. Lord, I pray that you would help us to never put ourselves on a shelf. Lord, never to just set aside on the sidelines and think others can do it. But Lord, you desire to for us to have a spiritual worldview, a biblical worldview, to realize that we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. And we may not have children or grandchildren nearby, but Lord, you still desire to use us to teach others also. To come up alongside this next generation who has so much information poured into them by the internet, by their phones, by social media. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as a church to come up along each other, beside each other and teach the things of your word. Lord, help us to never realize that our work here is not done until you call us home. Help us to stay busy for you. Help us to realize how fast time is fleeting. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage us. I pray that you would give us boldness. I pray that you would give us strength through the help of the Holy Spirit to speak the truth in love. Lord, we cannot do this on our own. We cannot win the battle by ourselves. We need your help. but we need the help of others, Christians, Lord, brothers and sisters in Christ, to help carry the torch, pass it down from one generation to the next. Lord, we love you, and we ask all these things in your precious and holy name, in the name above all names, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.